Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Floyd Money Mayweather conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, there will be an opportunity for live questions and comments. Instructions will be given at that time. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference call over to our host, Kelly Swanson. Kelly, please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. Such a pleasure to be joined today by Floyd Mayweather, 11-time five-division world champion, to talk about his upcoming fight with Marcos Maidana, Mayhem 2. Also joining us is Leonard Ellerbe, Chief Executive Officer of Mayweather Promotions. Before I introduce Leonard, I just wanted one program note. The fight week schedule will be distributed later this week, tomorrow, if not Friday. So everybody, please take a look for that in your email. That will give you a breakdown of everything happening during fight week, starting Tuesday with the grand arrivals. So please look for that in your inbox, and I am going to immediately now turn it over to Leonard Ellerbe to make the introductions. Leonard?
Thank you, Kelly. We'd like to thank everyone for joining us on the call this afternoon. With 9 days out, we're really looking forward to September the 13th, a barn burner, Mayweather versus Maidana. Floyd will be defending his WBC and WBA welterweight titles along with his WBC super welterweight world championship in an unprecedented instance. Our undercard will feature in the co-main event, Leo Santa Cruz versus Manuel Roman in a 12-round WBC super bantamweight championship. Along with in the featured event, we have Mickey Bay. He'll be fighting Miguel Vasquez for Vasquez's IBF lightweight world championship. And opening the pay-per-view bout, we have Alfredo Angulo versus James De La Rosa in a 10-round middleweight bout. And also in a special on the countdown show, we have John Molina. He'll be facing Humberto Soto, which will be a truly exciting fight for the fans. This event will be promoted by Mayweather Promotions along with Golden Boy Promotions. Our sponsors are Corona, O'Reilly Auto Parts, The Equalizer, and the Mexican Tourism Board. Also, just to inform everyone, we have a new start time, which is very important to start the pay-per-view broadcast. The start time will be 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to none other than 11-time world champion in five different weight classes, Floyd Mayweather.
Thank you, Leonard. First, I want to say hello to everyone. I want to say thank you for the support. I want to thank everybody that's on social networks. I want to thank everybody for the articles and the stories. I want to thank everybody that's covered this fight. I appreciate everyone, and we're not too far away from September 13th, and I'm in tip-top shape. I'm pretty sure Maidana's in tip-top shape, and we're ready to give you guys the excitement.
Okay, operator, let's open it up for questions, please.
Great. If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Again, that is star 1 on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question. All right, and we'll go with our first question from Mitch Abramson from the New York Daily.
Hey, Floyd, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good. Floyd, I'm just curious. Do you think that 50 Cent crossed the line by suggesting that you have trouble reading in that Instagram video that he posted?
I don't. My thing is this. I try to focus on Maidana. I don't really focus on that. And I think, people can believe whatever they want to believe. Intelligence and education is two different things. And, I'm happy with my career. And I wish 50 Cent nothing but the best. When I'm in training camp, I try to focus on my training. And, you got to realize the circus is for clowns. And my job is just to focus on my job, which is boxing. I know what I can and I can't do, so I can care less.
Were you surprised, though, that he went in that direction and you know, talked about a topic that would, you know, would be that sensitive?
I don't really worry about that. You know, like I said before, that's not my focus. You know, like I said before, I know what I can and I can't do. You know, I'm pretty sure everybody that's on this phone, if you guys don't know, you know, when you're dealing with pay-per-view, you have to read at least 60 to 70 teleprompters, and I don't think they could choose a better person for the job, you know, than myself. You know, I go out there and I do it with no problem. And, you know, I ask myself, hold on 1 second. I want to lose you guys.
Okay.
So let me finish.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know, and I just feel like basically, you know, I'm not judged by a person. You know, I'm judged by God. Reading do not define my place in boxing history. Well, will God not let me in heaven because I didn't read like a news anchor? I would be perfect at reading if it was how I made my living and fed my family. Once again, intelligence and education, it's two different things. And first of all, making fun of a person because they can't read is not funny. It's tragic. Second, if I really couldn't read, it would make my accomplishments even that much more amazing. So I can, like I said before, I can care less. Like I said, I don't know if 50 Cent is, I don't know if he's a boxing promoter. I don't know if he's making music. You know, I really don't know. You know, my focus is Floyd Mayweather, and I wish him nothing but the best.
Do you want to just comment on the footage that the radio station played of you reading the drop?
People are allowed to, like I said before, I don't get paid to read radio drops, you know. I'm capable of having a bad day. I'm not perfect, but if you know as well as I know, that was, you know, the tape, like I said before, they edited the tape how they wanted to do it. And
sure.
I'm a perfectionist. You know, when I go read the teleprompters, if something is not right on it, like if I go read a teleprompter, I could do the teleprompter 6 or 7 or 8 times because I'm a perfectionist. And like I said before, I could have been up 24 hours. I could have just landed in New York City. You know, like people find different ways to try to break people down and tear people down. I'm going strong, and I'm happy. I mean, we talk about that situation, but everyone has to do is there's plenty of videos out there just showing me reading teleprompters and reading other things. When I was at the ESPYs, I had to read a teleprompter. You know, I'm pretty sure you guys thought I'd done an okay job. Like I said before, I'm not a news anchor. Never claimed to be. You know, what I do for a living, I'm a boxer. But I didn't get to where I got to not being able to write, read, and do arithmetic. And I'm going to say this once again. Intelligence and education is two total different things.
Okay. Thanks for your time, Floyd. I appreciate it.
Great, and we'll go ahead and move on to our next question coming from Robert Littal from Black Sports Online.
How you doing, Floyd?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. The first question that I have is, it seems like in every camp that you have, there is some certain distractions away from the ring. You know, how do you go about dealing with those distractions? And is it something that you want to kind of get rid of as you keep going forward? Because it seems like in every camp, something that has nothing to do with boxing comes up.
Well, I don't, like I said before, that's tomorrow to me. You know, I'm truly blessed to be where I'm at. You know, I try not to focus on that type of stuff. You know, my job is to focus on my children, make sure my children and my family is in the best position, and stay focused on my craft, which is boxing. And nothing can steer me the wrong way. You know, I don't focus on, like I said before, I don't focus on clown stuff. That's, like I said before, that's for the circus. My job is to stay focused on boxing. I got to where I got to by being smart, making smart moves, and doing what's best for Floyd Mayweather.
From a boxing standpoint, you said in several interviews that Madonna came out strong, won a few rounds early, and it took you a little bit to adjust to his style. You know, what was it about him that was a little bit different than some of the other boxers that you really picked up really quickly what they were doing and was able to dominate entire fights like what you did with Canelo? What was about Madonna that took you a little bit of time to kind of figure out what he was doing?
I didn't say it was tough or it was hard to make adjustments. I said I took my time. You know, if you look at the article, I mean, you look at the interviews, I said he came out kind of wild, and I took my time and kept my composure. And I said, and what I said is I can make adjustments, and I can adapt to any style, whether it's in the first round, the second round. Canelo is by far, just because I beat Canelo 11 rounds, that doesn't mean he's not a better fighter than Maidana. You know, Canelo's by far stronger. And, he tried to pull a couple dirty tactics, but like I said before, you know, that comes with the territory.
Appreciate it, Floyd. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll go ahead and move on to our next question coming from Lem Satterfield from RingTV.com.
Hey, Floyd, how you doing?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm blessed. How you doing, Leonard?
Hey, Lem, how's it going?
Good. I got a question for both of you. You know, obviously, you guys weren't happy with Tony Weeks, and now you have Kenny Bayless. First of all, can you comment on him as a referee?
Well, let me touch on that first, Leonard, please.
Sure.
I think Tony Weeks is an extraordinary referee. I think Kenny Bayless is an extraordinary referee. Tony Weeks is only human. He's capable of having a bad night. And, you know, it doesn't matter who the ref was going to be. We just want to go out there and entertain and get the people an exciting fight. And I'm pretty sure Kenny Bayless is going to be watching both sides extremely close.
So do you see that, you know, the fact that you've had him against De La Hoya, Mosley, and Alvarez, and he's only had Maidana once, and he is a kind of a, I wouldn't say hands-on, but very balanced referee. Do you see that as any kind of advantage? You are familiar with him with you, and Leonard, if you want to weigh in also.
Well, you know, it's certain things that, you know, like I said before, the job of the referee is to be fair. Not lean towards my side or not lean towards my down side. But I don't think, you know, with the team meetings before the fight, hopefully, you know, I'm pretty sure the last time Leonard and my team didn't know that Robert Garcia was going to tell this guy to go out there and be extremely dirty. My health is more important than money or anything else. You know, I have to be healthy to go out there and perform the way that I do. And I truly believe in having a career after the sport of boxing is over. And I said this before in some of my past interviews. This is not the MMA. This is boxing. I mean, if you guys notice, I got tackled, guy trying to knee me, I got a headbutt, I got hit with rapid punches, I got hit with low blows, and the list goes on and on. And I'm pretty
sure. In 45 seconds left in the fight, it appeared on video that you complained of him, like, biting your glove. Did that happen?
I'm not really sure. But it's possible. I mean, he done a little bit of everything. And that night, I had to do two jobs. I had to be the boxer and referee. So I had to do two jobs. But Tony Weeks is he's a future Hall of Famer referee, and he does an extraordinary job in the sport of boxing, and so does Kenny Bayless.
I guess my final question on the subject is, in light of the fact that it was actually on video in the epilogue on Showtime that he did, in fact, say, you know, be dirty in the fight. You know, Robert did say that. Do you see any double standard in the way he reacted after Brandon Rios' fight with Diego Chavez, complaining of how dirty Chavez was, and yet he is prepared, he appears to be prepared to do similarly as they did in the first fight? And that's a question for both of y'all. Do you see any double standard?
I'm glad that someone, you know, got a chance to see that side of Robert Garcia. You know, he's supposed to be, quote unquote, one of the best trainers in the sport of boxing, but I think it's totally disrespectful to the sport of boxing for a trainer to be telling the guy, be dirty. I mean, I don't think it's cool at all. And Robert Garcia is worried about the gloves, not Maidana. So why is Robert Garcia worried about the gloves if he's not fighting or he's not trying to do anything slick that he shouldn't be doing? You know, with everything that's going on, Robert Garcia is worried about he's doing all the talking. And I haven't heard it, but you know, when I do my interviews, different writers let me know that this guy is saying, different people let me know Robert Garcia is saying and complaining about me doing certain things. And man, listen, only thing that I want to do is give the people an exciting, good fight and get the people an exciting night of boxing. But it's not cool for him, as one of the best trainers in the sport of boxing, you're telling the guy, be dirty, but then get upset when Brandon Rios fight, then he wants to complain to the referee. Like I said before, that's not cool at all.
Thank you, Floyd. Leonard, do you have anything to add?
No, Floyd covered it all.
Okay, guys, thank you very much, and good luck in the fight.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll move on to our next question coming from Jenna Jay with On the Ropes Boxing.
Hi, Floyd. How are you doing today?
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Well, the question I have for you is the first fight, you mentioned before how rough it was and all the things that you had to go through, and this is something you've gone through in your whole career. I mean, Zab Judah intentionally fouled you. Victor Ortiz intentionally fouled you. I'm just wondering, from a boxer's perspective, how do you stay poised in the ring when this is happening to you?
Well, the thing is this. I try to tell my sons to always conduct themselves like young men. So I say, under any circumstances, always conduct yourself like a young man. Even though you guys see all access, you must understand that, you know, it's about entertainment also. You know, I got to sell tickets. You know, that's a part of my job. And you know, I signed up for this. But when it's something like that, I just tell myself, you know, keep your composure, just relax. And the referee's going to do his job. And I guess on the night where a guy was the worst, the referee, he done a little work, but he had a bad night. But I mean, like I said before, it's crazy. And this didn't just start. This been going on for since the beginning of my career. If you guys go back and look how fighters have been fighting dirty and trying to pull different Dirty Tech, even in the Canelo fight, you go look and see.
I'd like to touch on that too.
Go ahead.
That one personally for me, that you know, what I've always noticed, that Floyd is always taking the high road in all these situations, and that's one of the things I really admire, you know, about him. You know, because he could take a different approach with being the leader of the sport. You know, he's not about crying and complaining, but a lot of these situations that come about, you know, he just takes the high road to it. You know, and he preaches all these kind of things to, you know, members of his team, you know, people in camp. It's all about just being positive. Turn a negative situation into something positive. You know, you go back to the Zab Judah situation. He was the one that's standing there, you know, and didn't retaliate, you know, or do anything. And that just goes to show you what type of professional he is.
All right. Now, the next question I have for you. In the post-fight presser, you mentioned that your father was giving you very good advice, but you wanted to fight the way that you fought in the first fight. I'm curious, from a fan perspective, and I mean, what they're going to actually see. I mean, how much different is the second fight going to be from the first?
My dad was giving me good advice. Not saying that his advice wasn't right or wrong, but it's totally different inside than how it looks on the outside.
All right. And the final question I have for you, how much do you want to go out there and make this a shutout? How much do you want to dominate Marcus Maidana compared to the first fight? How much do you want to end in doubt?
Well, you know, I think 9 rounds to 3 rounds is a shutout. You know, just who's ever on the phone right now, I'm pretty sure you can YouTube the fight. And actually, I'm going to get with Showtime today so I can put the fight on FloydMayweather.com so you guys can go watch the fight. Or matter of fact, you can go to Showtime On Demand and watch the fight. I'm pretty sure it's on Showtime On Demand, the first fight. And just look at the fight. The fight is not close. But he came out. He won the first round. I won the second round. He won the third and the fourth. And from the fifth on, he lost every round. So I don't, like I said before, I want to go out there and, I guess, you know, get a knockout, win 12 rounds, and look impressive, but also be exciting.
All right, well, Floyd, thank you for your time. I'm looking forward to the event.
Thank you.
December 13th.
Great, and we'll go ahead and move on to our next question coming from Dan Rafio from ESPN.
Thank you very much. Hello, Floyd and Leonard. How are you guys?
Hey, what's going on there?
Good to talk to you, Floyd. By your math, by the way, when you were just breaking down the first fight between you and Maidana, did you have the fight in your favor 8 rounds to 4 or 9 rounds to 3?
If I could just recall, like I said before, I won the second round. You know, he won the first round, but I won the second round. And he won probably the third and fourth because I know one of those rounds I got hit, but nobody really couldn't see. So I was just mainly in survival mode until I got back to my corner to Rafael Garcia, the great legendary Rafael Garcia. And
so you gave him 3 rounds then, rounds 1, round 3, round 4?
Yes.
Okay, so that's 9 rounds to 3, which is, you know, that's a pretty dominant performance. My question for you besides that is, you know, I was looking back how long ago you had your rematch with Jose Castillo. It seems like a lifetime ago. It's 2002, a long time ago, more than a decade. And that was a similar situation, I suppose, where there were some people that thought maybe you had lost that fight. A lot of people thought you certainly won the fight. But regardless, in the second fight.
But you know what? There's so many biased people. It could be fights that I dominate, and people still think I'll lose.
But in the rematch, though, I think that was a fight that you won certainly much easier than whatever went down in the first fight. Would you agree with that?
But you know what I say, Dan? You know what you have to do? Like I said before, I mean, you know, I'm one that always speaks his mind. So, you know, and I speak from the heart. So a lot of times that, you know, that get people don't like that. You know, a lot of people, you know, they say certain things, and I just speak on what I feel is the truth. You know what I'm saying? So if you guys really just go back and look at the Castillo first fight and you can just put your TV on mute. The first six rounds, he's not even landing a shot. So if I win six rounds and then we got six rounds left, if people don't think out of six rounds that I'm capable of just winning, we just say just two rounds. That still would be 8-4. So like I said before, I'm good with math, and I'm still sharp. But this training camp has went tremendous, tremendous. I mean, I'm talking about I'm in good shape. I just boxed yesterday. The day before yesterday, 15 rounds. So out of 15 rounds, only took one break. So, like I said before, I feel good.
What I wanted to ask you about, the reason I brought up the Castillo fight is, I know that you won the first fight, certainly, but the second fight you seemed to win even in a more dominant fashion than you did in the first fight. And I'm wanting to know that after the first fight was over and then you signed for the rematch, do you remember going into that rematch when you were in your training camp of having to think about trying to make certain adjustments? Or did you basically just come out and fight the same way and just, you know, do better the second fight around? And if so, is there anything you can take from the situation of having an immediate rematch with Castillo into this immediate rematch, only the second time in your career you've had a rematch, going into the Maidana fight?
I just have to go out there and just be me and be first. I can't really say, you know, how this fight is going to play out, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be, once again, extremely dirty and wild. And my job is to, you know, keep everything under control.
What do you remember then about that first, after the first Castillo fight, of preparing yourself for a rematch with the same guy you had just fought a few months earlier?
The Castillo fight, I already know I had one hand down the first fight. But like I said, the commentators persuade people to think a certain way. Put it on mute, your TV on mute and watch the fight, you'll look at the fight in a totally different way. I can look at a fight and hear the commentators start saying certain things. And I'd be like, sometimes when commentators are talking and saying certain things, I'll be like, what is he talking about? What is he watching?
So are you saying, Floyd, that you felt like you won the fight really easily, so therefore, although maybe some people thought maybe, oh, is Floyd going to be able to make an adjustment or this or that, in your mind, you didn't really need to make an adjustment because you felt like you won the first fight so easy. You're going to just do the same thing the second time. Was that your mentality?
Absolutely. You couldn't say it no better.
Okay. I have to ask you another question. Can you explain, or maybe Leonard could address this, whoever, what is the role, if any, of Alex Ariza in your training camp?
Alex Ariza, I think he's out in Las Vegas. Probably, I think he's out in Las Vegas. He's been out in Las Vegas. I don't know, taking care of some personal stuff. So our gym is open to everyone. You know, our gym is open to everyone. And you know, in the past, you know, I've spoke about Alex Ariza, but I never knew him. You know, he come by the gym, he watched me train, and he showed me some stretches before I ran before, and that's it. You know. However he handles business with his other fighters. I mean, with other fighters, is how he handles business.
So is he not working for you in any official capacity? Just a friendly hello at the gym?
Well, you know, like I said, I'm not enemies with Alex Ariza. You know, we may just talk about just boxing. You know, we just talk about normal things, just boxing. And what Alex Ariza has said is, I've never seen a fighter in my life train as hard as you and work as hard as you. Now I see why you where you at. He said, you know, I just wanted to come see for myself. He basically said that I thought that all access and everyone, I thought all access was just camera tricks. I didn't really know you worked that hard. When he came and said, I've never seen a fighter work as hard as you know, I see why you are where you at in the sport of boxing. And he showed me stretches. Actually, yesterday, after my run, he showed me some other stretches that I can do. that could help me. It wasn't, you know, like I said before, it's nothing bad.
So, but he's not, like, part of the money team, let's say. He's not on the payroll. He's not going to be working the corner. He's not going to be with you during fight week. I mean, is that true, or is he going to be part of the team? Either way.
I can't say who's going to be around me fight week. You know, I really don't know. I can't really say. Leonard used to be around me a lot fight week, but he's doing different things now, so he's not around me fight week. So, like I said before, we don't know who's going to be around, but fight week, I'm not around nobody. You know, I'm at home resting. That's why I should be.
I meant as part of your group. You know, with your training team, yourself, your father.
Well, you know, Alex came to the gym more than just on one occasion. You know, but you know, just because a guy comes to the boxing gym and you know, watch me train, or a guy go eat with us, that doesn't mean that don't mean he's my strength and conditioning coach. I mean, he happened to be a strength and conditioning coach that showed me some stretches so far.
Can you answer just in a more clear manner? Is he part of your official team as a hired hand to work in a particular
Only thing I can answer is that he's a strength and conditioning coach that showed me some stretches. I mean, have you ever received a check from me? Absolutely not.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Floyd, I thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you next week.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll go ahead and move on with our next question. This is coming from Laura Gomez from Semana News. Laura, go ahead with your question, please.
I'm sorry about that. Hi, Floyd, greetings from Houston.
Hey, how you doing? Houston, Texas.
Yeah, that's what's up, H-Town. Well, here's my question. There's a love-hate relationship between Houston, Hispanics, and with you, because you have been a lot of Latino boxers, yet they admire you because of your history. But in what way, some way you have pushed some buttons wearing sombreros in the ring? What is that all about?
You know, my thing is I'm the face of boxing. You know, I don't have nothing against no one, you know, in the sport of boxing. Latino, you know, I love the Mexican, the Latino, you know, the Spanish fans. I love them all, and I appreciate just them supporting the sport of boxing, you know, as a whole. And so, I appreciate them all.
And let me touch on that. Actually, that's just a myth that's out there. You know, Hispanic fans obviously has a tremendous base, but Floyd has a tremendous global base, you know, not just only, you know, with the Americans. You know, everyone, you know, appreciates a great fighter, and that's what Floyd has been able to display. And I use an example of we were on the Canelo tour, you know. I was actually quite surprised at the Hispanic / Latino support that once we got to Mexico City, the fans actually loved Floyd, you know, more so than their own fighters, you know, because they actually know the sport. You know, a lot of times, you know, what has happened in the past is that, you know, as coming up, and when I say coming up through, you know, boxing, you know, fans feel a certain kind of way, and people are always going to have an opinion. But as a whole, people appreciate what Floyd brings to the sport, not only just the American fans, but all the Hispanics, Mexicans, everyone.
Definitely. And since you also said you're an entertainer, do you have anything planned for the Maidana? He's Argentinian.
I'm pretty sure we got something interesting, you know, for the walkout. For the people, we always want to get the people excitement all around the board. So I'm pretty sure we got some excitement.
All right, Floyd, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Now, how much longer?
Just a reminder.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready to move on to the next question?
Go ahead.
Go with Patrick Johnson from Sports Magazine.
Question.
Hey, Floyd.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man? Coming from Dallas. With all the dirty moves that Madonna pulled in the first fight, what if you prepared to do differently this time? That since he like you said, he made it into a UFC fight instead of a boxing fight.
Shit again.
I said, with all the dirty tactics that he pulled, and he made the fight into a UFC fight more than a boxing fight. What are you doing to prepare when he goes to that mode this time?
I can't prepare for that. You know, well, I can actually. My job is to prepare for everything all around the board, but I'm going to let the referee do his job and be fair to both parties.
And the defenders are the 147 and 154 belt. What did that idea come about, and what is your actual weight that y'all contracted that you have to be y'all weigh in on Friday, the night before the fight?
What do you mean? We're fighting at 47.
So what made you put the 154 belt on the line as well?
Because in an unprecedented move, that's what we're doing. Floyd is defending his WBC title at 154. It's only been done one other through the sport with Sugar Ray Leonard. He fought Donnie Lalonde. Floyd brings something different to boxing. That's why we're doing it.
Gotcha. Appreciate that. And also, Floyd, tell us, are you focused on getting the knockout? Because usually we know you're all about winning because you're undefeated. But this time it seems like you more want to send out a statement. Is that safe to say that you've been practicing going more for knockouts, or are you just going to go do what you do? Or since it seems more personal this time with the heated press media tour and all the comments Garcia and them saying back and forth?
I'm just going to let the fight play out like it plays out. And go out there and do what I do best. You know, if the knockout presents itself, of course I'm going to take full advantage of the knockout.
And my last question is, without you know your entertainment, you gonna let us in like the lay asked before, but who's gonna walk you out or anything this time? Because it's rumored from another Beaver sending to even Miley Cyrus walking you out this time.
We don't know, you know, what we're going to do, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be something extremely exciting.
So when do you make that decision? Is that fight week, or you just go out and you just pull something out your hat?
I don't like to let the cat out the bag yet. You know, if I tell you everything, you guys wouldn't have to watch the fight. So I want to tell you everything. I want you guys to buy a pay-per-view and watch the fight.
All right, I'll be out there, brother. I'll see you next weekend. Good luck.
Okay.
Great, and we'll go ahead and move on to our last question today. This is coming from Eddie Goldman with No Holds Barred.
Thank you very much. Hello, Floyd. A lot of comparisons have been made between taking the immediate rematch with Maidana and what happened with Castillo. If you don't get a knockout in this fight, do you think there's anything that you have to do differently if it goes to decision to get a unanimous decision, since the first fight was technically a majority decision?
I don't really know, you know, what I can do. Just like my fight with Canelo, you know, I feel like I dominated that fight. But it was a split decision. I feel like I dominated when I fought Oscar De La Hoya. I feel like I dominated Oscar De La Hoya. But that was a split decision. So, only thing I could do is go out there and fight.
Was the decision to do an immediate rematch, was it based more on whatever controversy there was from the first fight, both the dirty tactics and the majority decision, or was it something else?
Well, you know, the fans said it was real exciting. You know, the fans said it was real exciting. So the fans said it was exciting. My team had a meeting. They came up with this guy.
And like I said before, I'm a man of my word, just like I said after the fight. If you feel like you want to do it again, let's just do it again. If you feel like you really want. And so we're making it happen again.
Do you have, because of the last fight being majority decision, you mentioned the Canelo fight and the one with Oscar, all of which most people thought you had won, them being a majority of split decisions. Do you have any concerns about the judges getting it right, again, if it goes the distance?
Well, just hopefully, I think, we're in the mecca of boxing, and we have the best commission in the world. So we probably need some new young judges, whereas, I think some of the judges now are a lot older, and I think we need some new young judges.
And let me touch on that also, too. There's a new executive director, Bob Bennett, and he's done a tremendous job with bringing a lot of things to the forefront, and we have been very confident that Nevada is the best commission that's out there, and we feel as though we'll get a fair shake if the fight happens to go the distance.
All right. Thank you. Good luck in the fight. I know a lot of people are looking forward to it.
Okay, that was our last question. If you want to make one last comment, Floyd and Leonard, and then we'll wrap it up.
Leonard, make a comment. Yeah, I just want to tell everybody that they called in. I want to say thank you. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate all the write-ups, everybody that's on social media, everybody that's writing for magazines, writing for the newspapers. I just want to say thank you, over the years. I really appreciate you, and I see you guys next week.
And also, I'd like to remind everyone to tune in to All Access this coming Saturday, episode 2. It will be televised at 9 p.m. Eastern Time and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Tune in.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining us. See you next week for Fight Week. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, and that will conclude our call for the day.